Okay, a couple things. Welcome back.
Hi, guys.
This is the edge of beautiful, something beautiful. And we took a little break. I've been going through some hard things with my mom, and people have just, you know, we have lives, but we wanted to get back here. And I want to say one thing, I think, before I begin, and I think I can speak for all of us. You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there, and why the four of us want to do this is to bring value and to bring, like, clarity or things that were really, like, the nitty-gritty of life, what we're really working on and how we get to the hard places and we find our way through them, and to share them. Because I know for me, when I'm in a hard space and somebody shares something with me, I go, wow, thank you. Like, thanks for doing that. Like, it literally, like, it elicits tears in me right now.
Being open with them. Yeah, it's so vulnerable.
I'm so grateful in life these days. My mom is getting close to being put in palliative care. My sister broke her arm. You know, just life is life. These ladies could attest to what their lives are doing. And yet we show up in the resiliency of it. And so today's meditation, I teach a meditation class at a place called My Women's Center in Sparks, Nevada. And I have for the last 11 years, 10 years, and going on 11. And, you know, I've, like anything, I've waxed and waned of, like, you know, screw it. Do I just want to stop this? And, you know, like what we do, we banter back and forth within our minds about what we should or shouldn't be doing. But the topic was about how we try to force solutions to life. And one of the ladies in the group had this really interesting meditation where she was just walking through slime. And so what she discovered is that the more that she feels overwhelmed, the more she wants to say F it. Mm. And the reason why we want to say F it is that we have an idea of how it should go, and then it goes. And we want perfectionism. We want things to go our way. We want things to just be as such. So she was doing this open house, and there was no staff members there, and people were a little demanding. And yet she said it was one of the best presentations she has done since doing them, because all of a sudden what she realized is that she stopped trying to force it and she let go into the flow. And I always say this in my own life, like, watching Will Smith slap Chris Rock had nothing to do with Chris Rock. Like, how much do we have pent up of wanting life to just be a certain way, not dealing with the reality of it, but living in the whimsicalness of it? And then when something, just that one little flick, and we're off and we lose it. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So the conversation today was around being more in the flow, surrender, letting go of perfectionism. There was another lady there that shared how she had pulled this oracle card. And, you know, I don't know if I conveyed it well enough to her, but it's like when she feels like she has to perform, she feels it in her throat, like the stress of closing down on herself, of not speaking what she really wants to speak, but what she thinks you want to hear. And I think all of us can identify with that. So we bring these topics to this podcast, not because we try to be experts in it, not because we think that we've got all the answers. Fuck no. In fact, I run from people like that. But I think what we bring to this table is a sense of experience and the willingness to show up and not know and see where the conversation goes organically. What?
We're just playing footsie over here.
Oh, I like it. I want to play footsie. So, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes doing these because we don't have a live audience. Like, how do you feel? My forte in life is, how does that apply to you? How do you feel? What's the benefit of that? So let's open the conversation up, ladies, of all the things we carry, thinking that we have to do it right to be accepted.
Life is just about learning and growing and trial and error, really. Like, it's with anything, with work, with being a mom. You're not handed a book when your kids are born, and there's so much pressure to be this perfect mom, and are you a gentle parent, or do you spank your kids, you know?
Yeah.
There's so much around being a perfect parent, and there's no such thing. Like, there's just absolutely no such thing as a perfect parent.
Yeah.
We do what we feel is the right thing to do, and it all depends on the individual kid, I think, too. You mm-hmm. know? But I think that's a big thing for moms.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I'm not a mom, but I can only imagine, right? I mean, I do it in my everyday life with people, let alone with kids, because of the fear of screwing them up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What we talk about it so much because it's such an edge. It's like, what is the edge of beautiful? The edge of beautiful, going back to the premise of why we did this, was like to get to that place, that sticky place,
yeah,
of where you want to hold back because you want it to be beautiful, but based on somebody else's reality, based on somebody else's expectation.
I just know from my experience, having a son that was an addict, you, at first, I didn't talk about it to anybody because I felt like people were judging my parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. She was a horrible mom. Wow. She must have done something wrong, you know? And so I didn't talk about Jake's addiction for a really long time. Mm. I kept it pretty close. I didn't even barely talk to many friends because nobody knew how to take it. You know, I kind of felt really alone. But then what I found over time is that if we don't talk about it, then we, you know, I needed to get over myself. Mm-hmm. I really needed to get over myself. Like,
what does that mean?
Okay, so I wasn't a fucking perfect mom.
But what does that mean? Like, when you say you really had to talk about it, I want to know what that means.
It. Well, because once people start talking about it, then other people start talking about it, then you find, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. You went
through
this
alone.
Too?
Yeah.
You're not
well,
alone.
Shit, you know,
yeah, we're nobody's from. Talking about it. And then so.
Yeah,
then,
so when you hide it yeah. and, you know, you have all this shame. Because I did.
We're all going through the same stuff. We're just not talking
yeah,
about
yeah, everyone's stuff they go through with their
that's
kids are different.
That's why we're here doing what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'd have parents coming in saying, oh, my child wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. They go to this school. Geez. And I would just be like, inside going, fuck you.
Well, because those people are real. They're still trying to put on a facade
of being
perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they're
being
just really
perfect,
afraid.
Like this white
they're afraid. They're afraid because, God forbid, it would happen to them.
Well,
right?
and that they would be judged. And then right. there yeah. goes their right. perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And then there goes their whole accountability of everything. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a perfect mom. I've learned that, and I'm fine with it. I've had long talks with my kids about it. And I instilled the things that I thought were important, but addiction, unfortunately, doesn't pick and choose who it affects.
Right.
Doesn't
God,
matter.
No.
Doesn't matter how much you make. Doesn't
God,
matter
no.
where you live.
No.
Nobody gives a shit.
You don't choose
right?
your disease.
Yeah.
Like
no.
Know, they choose us, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you feel that perfectionism thing with being mom.
Oh, yeah. The mom guilt, like we've talked God. About before, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like being...
I mean, you know, for me... It's like all these labels, all these things, these are ancient. Like, they've been handed down, I mean, since man began of they didn't have dialogue, but our nervous system had this innate wanting to survive. And so,
and
you know,
fit in.
To you know like if you left the cave and you didn't come back with the kill, you're worthless.
Right.
Get
exactly.
out of here. Mm-hmm. Or if you aren't doing what the tribe wants you to do, we're going to leave you outside of the cave and you die. Mm-hmm. So we have this innate, like, it's in our DNA, guys. And, yeah. and we're not neuroscientists. We're not trying to act like neuroscientists here. But it's in our DNA.
Well, and yeah, with women, too. Like, your house has to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mine you is. Have... I had it cleaned.
But you know what I mean? It's like... I know women walk into each other's homes and be like...
Judging,
like, oh, how clean is her house? Oh, God, she has laundry, you know? And then we feel... And then we're apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. my house... Yeah. I think Becky came over and I was like, sorry, my house is a mess right now. Remember that day?
I don't even look at it anymore because I used to. I used to do that. And
but
I used to think people did it to me, but now I'm
I don't do it to anybody,
place,
though.
I
yeah.
And, you know, yeah. and so what a freedom, right? But what does it take to get there? Because...
A lot.
Yeah. Oh, God, so
I think
much.
What I'm discovering is that our, like... we get up in the morning and we suit up and we put these masks on and we have an idea in our mind already of what's acceptable out there, and we keep playing it out. And then we end up going home at night feeling worn out and miserable because we're not honoring our soul. We're not honoring who we are at our core.
Yeah.
Which maybe you're not a clean freak. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't want to have your hair coiffed. I mean, I have messy hair. I'm always going to have messy hair. But to somebody else, it's like, does she always look disheveled? Well, you know, maybe I'm disheveled Rini. You know, maybe that's an aspect of me that's rebellious or acceptable. I don't know. But if I tried to do it perfect, because when I got on camera, oh, God, and my nose is running. Jesus, nobody told me.
I can see it. But it's the same, like, perfectionism, like, for women, too. Like, oh, my lips have to be perfect. Oh, my cheekbones. I've got to get all these fillers, and, you know, I have to be perfect. I have to, you know, look like everybody else. And it's just really so sad. Like,
yeah. I mean, I go to the mirror. Anybody else do this? I go to the mirror and I look at the wrinkles and I look at the like life on my face and then I go,
I do, but I like
does
it.
That really have any like I don't know that I like it. I'm not quite there yet, Jocelyn. I wish I was. No, I'm really, and really I don't know serious.
Maybe it's because I feel like, I mean, I see women all day long and I hear them talk about themselves like, oh my God, my butt, oh my face, oh my ears are too big, oh this ear is pinched, you know, my hair's whatever. And I'm like, I'm looking at them going, geez, I just think you're so pretty. I think you're so cool. Like everything about you, like you, I love.
So,
like, but when I think women just compare themselves and just makes me so sad. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, so, you know the quote that we see life as we are, not as, you know what I mean? Like, we view everything as we are.
That's true.
So, like, they're not secure enough within themselves. Mm-hmm. All they see is the imperfections. And so you have to think, do they see imperfection in everything in life? Because I always tell my kids, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
So true.
So it's like, it goes... To me, it's true with how you look at yourself.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I just made a post about that with, like, my stretch marks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
because
that.
Because we are they.
You posted. You're a strong beast, man.
Yeah.
I was like, it's literally, when you posted that picture, I was just like, I got tears in my eyes because I was like, damn.
I didn't see
that's
it.
That's such bravery to me.
So
I'm
you
just
need
like,
to show her.
I will.
I have it on my phone. I'll show
Mandy
it to
Lee,
you.
Follow her.
Like, her body is just like, bam, bitch, I got four kids and I look like this, but the stretch marks are beautiful because you carried your children.
Yeah, that like was their home for a while. Like,
exactly.
How could
that,
I not
we
love
grew
it?
Them
Well, and you know what's so great about that, right, is that there's somebody out there on Instagram or TikTok. We scroll looking for, like, the perfect fix. Mm-hmm. We scroll to make sure we belong. We make sure that, like, I'm not alone in this. And so then you stumble across somebody like Mandy who posts a picture of her stretch marks, who's beautiful. And they go, wow, what bravery, what courage. I want to find that. Like,
right.
Like, I think that's what life is. It's finding the similarities and not the differences. It's like finding your tribe, finding the people in your life that are your greatest cheerleaders, finding the people in your life that go, me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of, you know, I'm only sharing this, guys, because I can be a snobby fucking bitch, and I can be the most judgmental individual you've ever met. And that's years ago. I truly can tell you I've worked really hard on moving away from that, and I would much rather have you show me your vulnerabilities and your scarcity and your the crazies. I don't want to hang out with crazy, but sharing like what's really going on.
That's where the learning and growing comes
from.
That's
right.
And it's hard to be friends with people that aren't vulnerable and show themselves.
Just have this facade. That's
And it's really unattractive.
It is.
It's so unattractive.
It's fake.
Comparison is the killer of joy.
Yep.
And we all, you know, like, so and you know, for me, I'm just going to share. So I live in Reno. I live by a school called Roy Gom. I went to Roy Gom.
The Gommy Mommies.
And the Gommy Mommies. And they look, you know, and if you're listening to this, it sounds judgmental, but it's like you're clones. Like, you have to look a certain way. You have to drive your Escalade. You have to drive your Range Starbucks Rover. Uh-huh. And you know, for me, that's fine. This is where I'm going with this, is that what does that cover up? I ask that of anybody. What does that cover up? If you have to put on a persona in order to feel like you're a part of, or like you belong, or that you're good enough, that's a persona and it's a mask. And those are dangerous to me. Mm-hmm. Because that's the mental health issue in this world.
Absolutely.
Is that we don't like the face that hasn't had Botox. I'm not bagging on Botox. I've had it myself. Please don't. I'm not casting pearls here before, you know, like, I mean, I'm,
we'll
whatever
talk about
that
the
is.
Health issues with Botox.
Yeah, right? I get it. I get it. One. I want to hear that. I haven't had it for a long time. But anyway, but my point is that we walk around wanting to have it together, and I see your struggles. Let them happen.
But you want to know who the person is behind the mask.
Right.
That's where the beauty lies.
And I feel like you've evolved enough to see that, where they have it, they don't see it.
No.
Mm. They're still trying to one-up mm-hmm. each other.
So what would it take?
I feel like...
Self-confidence and being confident in who you are.
Right.
But you can't force someone to have
it. It was my son getting sick. And I think for the first time in my life, I realized nothing,
we need to talk into the camera too,
nothing
guys.
Nothing really matters. Like, what matters is your loved ones,
yep.
their health, mm-hmm. and just making sure that everybody is safe and happy. Like, all that stuff, I could care less.
Yeah,
like,
but
care what kind of car you drive. I don't care.
But we've gone through trauma, yeah. So when you go through trauma, you learn.
It's eye-opening.
It's eye-opening, and you're like, it changes your perspective on how you feel about things and how you feel about yourself. Like, mm-hmm. for me and you, like, you going through what you went through with Cole, you know, I look in the mirror and I see wrinkles around my eyes. I'm like, yeah, well, I've been crying for fucking 14 months.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's me. Yeah. I wouldn't want to hide that emotion.
Right. I
and
aged
same
a
with
lot.
You. And yes.
In 1 year, I was like,
right?
Whoa.
Because you're
yeah.
not in the mirror. But to me, it was worth it.
It was worth, mm-hmm. worth, yeah.
I was a machine.
Yep.
I was just,
you got
like,
through
no,
it.
I'm getting my son to where he needs to be. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah. all I could focus on. It's all I could.
You do what you do. And yeah. and I think that's a really eye-opening thing, what you ladies just shared, because, like, after my divorce, I could have stayed in the harm of the divorce and the heartache of the divorce and the hardship of that. And instead, you turn the pain into a passion. You turn the pain into a purpose. You know, you've heard these cliches, but you turn the pain into now what? Mm-hmm. Now what? Because the fork in the road. I can stay bitter, resentful, the victim, why me? This is hard. Or you can go, you know, this is hard, but let me see.
I'm going to use it to learn from and grow.
Yeah.
And
let me
figure
see what
out
I'm
who
capable
you are
of.
In those moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I you know, I was wondering, what does it take? Like, what's the turning point in someone's life to go from the heartache of a sick child, the heartache of a loss of a child, huge.
Divorce,
turmoil of not knowing what to do in life, these turning points. Like, we all reach turning points, but going back to our original topic, if you feel like you have to do that perfect, I heard the greatest thing the other day, and I've heard it before, but shame. Should have already mastered everything.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Like, we feel like we should already know how to do these things. Please stop. That's the most abusive stance you could ever take in life, is that you think you should already have this figured out. That's why people hate uncertainty. Is because, God forbid, we don't know what to do in the moment,
and
we fall apart.
We're scared of growth. We're scared of what's on the other side of that Monday. Like,
I don't know if they're necessarily afraid of growth, because I just don't think they understand.
Well, not afraid of growth, but like,
happens on the other.
So don't say they. We.
We. Afraid of how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
Maybe reluctant on how long it's going to take for us to get to that spot.
Yep.
That sweet spot within ourselves.
Yeah.
Some people are kind of like, you know, I do hear this. Well, how long is that going to take? Mm-hmm. It's like, well,
we don't know.
Your path is different than mine.
Yeah, everyone's right. path is different.
We don't know.
Yeah, but it's so fun to try to to do it. I find it so fun.
Don't you feel like you're still doing it?
Like,
it's lifelong. Like, well, every
absolutely.
Single day.
Absolutely.
I hope we never stop. I think that's the day you take your last breath.
Yeah.
I only said, instead of saying they, because we're not separate from you. Please don't watch this podcast and think that we're on a pulpit and we're different than you, because we're not.
Okay, sorry.
You know, it's like they, like, you don't fucking get it, but we do. quite the opposite, honeys, because the reason why we're doing this is we're learning just as you go along. Well, we just want to have conversations that are hard, that move the needle, that when we leave we go, God, I feel like a different human being, and thank you for being in my life.
You know, someone said to me the other day, we have one thing to do in this life. What is it? There's one thing that we have to do. There's only one thing we have to do.
Live.
Die.
Mm-hmm. What do you got to do first?
Yeah.
You got to live.
Yeah.
Well, and Pema Chodron wrote a phenomenal book, and it's one of my favorite books ever, is How You Live is How You Die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So live it well. Live it well. That's right. That's right. So what was the purpose of this whole podcast today? Like the takeaway points, because the value, we want to bring value every time we talk.
Right. I think. But when you focus on perfectionism, you're robbing yourself of your own joy.
There you go. Well said.
Ability to step into something great if you just relax and let it go. Like, forget about it. Mm-hmm. It does not need to be perfect, because guess
relax
what?
And let go.
Nobody is looking and nobody cares.
That's right.
No, let it go and let it be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think about that for just a second, Becky. That's a good one. We walk around thinking that people care, and all they're doing is walking around thinking that you care. You know, I mean, so the bottom line to it is like, find what your heart needs. Find what you need to do. Like, what do I need to do today to take care of Rini, to feel at peace with myself? And that may mean I ruffle feathers. That may mean that I disappoint you with a boundary. That may mean that I say no to you when you really want me to say yes.
But you're helping them learn, too. By doing that, they see that, and they're like, wow.
That's right.
I can have boundaries, too.
Mm-hmm. I can do it. Yeah.
You know, my husband had a lot of boundaries with me when we first started dating. He was like, you're too close. Don't jump on me like that. Don't tickle me. And I'd be like, okay. And then I would take it to heart. But really, he had boundaries. Like, don't mess with him. You know what I mean?
He knew what he wanted.
We talk about boundaries a lot on here.
We do. Yeah.
That's important. What we struggle with. I mean,
well, boundaries get moved.
I struggle with.
But when we have boundaries with other people, they kind of look at us like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. They're
intrigued.
They're intrigued and they're impressed, because when somebody has a boundary with me, and I'm like, you know, I could take it to heart, and I'm like, oh no, I like that, because they're honest. You're being honest. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be lied to. I don't want to be lied to. Mm-hmm. Just, you know.
Say what you mean, mean what you say, and just don't say it meanly.
Yep. So.
Any closing remarks, girls, before we...
We're looking at Mandy.
Mandy, you're the
You're waiting
out.
For the tears of me.
Perfectionism. What's on your heart?
Gosh.
Close this out, Mandy.
You know, when we started this, I was looking at that book and how to love yourself. And you were talking about how there's no book for, you know, being a mom and all of the things. And we have to do what feels right to us. And gosh, you can read all the books. And like we just said, though, too, like, your experience is so much different than mine. And I think in sharing with people, we can take, well, what worked for you, taking bits and pieces from what everyone goes through in life and how they achieve something, but following your heart and listening to your heart. And I struggle with that the most right now, is going through what I'm going through in life, and also trying to think about what everyone else's heart is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard, I think, as a mom, to choose what feels right in mine, when to me that's them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm still dealing with trying to be the perfect mom in their eyes, you know? Yeah.
I think that speaks to so many viewers of this, of the perfectionism of what does it mean? Like, what if there was a book, think about this for just a second, Mandy. you go to the your local bookstore and there's a book that says How to Be the Perfect Mom. Think about, just stay with this for a second. And it's got this formula written out. That's still somebody else's opinion on how to be a perfect mom. And so I think, for me, I think the greatest gift anybody could do as a mom, as a spouse, as a, you know, a friend, is how do I be the best version of me today? How do I live a better life for me today? And that may mean saying no. It may mean ruffling the feathers. It may mean somebody's disappointed. But if I'm not egregious behind it, and I'm not spiteful and I'm not mean about it, it's what Jocelyn said a moment ago. It's opportunities for people to discover what they're made of too. Because I don't think there is a book that you can write on how to be a perfect mom or how to be a perfect anything. I think there just needs to be a book that says human.
Right. And there is no perfect.
No.
You're so based, I mean, there's no perfectionism either. There's moment, no, nobody's perfect.
You're perfectly perfect in this
in the
moment.
Mm-hmm.
And
how does it feel like if you can be at peace with it?
Mm-hmm.
That is good enough for me.
That's the deepest thing underneath anything is that, okay, I made a choice. And can I be at peace with my choice? How do I make peace with my choice? Mm-hmm. How do I make peace with where I am in this moment?
And knowing that doesn't have to make sense to everyone else.
No, there you go. That's such a great close. It doesn't have to make sense to everyone else because on the opposite coin, they're doing the same thing and it may not make sense to you. Mm-hmm. What do you do with it when somebody makes a choice that goes against your grain? Instead of asking them to be different, you still learn how to navigate you. And it goes opposite. I mean, it works both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Woo. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, from the deepest aspects of our hearts, thank you for listening. I mean,
love yourself.
Yeah, like love yourself. Be present. Be aware. Remain curious. But more than anything, hey, thanks for being here.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you too.